earth, and sky.
Why is there the Christmas bird count? In the 1800s, a common pastime for people would be to set up teams and go out on Christmas Day and see how many birds they could shoot in a day. And so in 1900, Frank Chapman, who was a ornithologist at the American Museum of Natural History in New York, tried to figure out how can we stop people from going out and killing birds, and let's see if we can get people to go out and count them instead. And so he organized the very first Christmas bird count in 1900, in which 25 people went out and participated in a dozen or 15 places across the country and tried to count birds and then see how many they saw at that time. And that has simply grown from that original 25 people in 1900 to now almost 60,000 people days worth of people going out and counting across the country.
You're listening to bird expert Thomas Bancroft, chief scientist with the Audubon Society in the U.S., and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Bancroft spoke more about the Christmas Bird Count, an annual volunteer-conducted survey of birds, with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Now, tell us about the Christmas Bird Count. What's important for people to know about it?
Well, the Christmas Bird Count is the largest citizen science program in the world. It involves roughly 30,000 people every year who put in almost 60,000 people days of volunteer effort to count birds across the United States, Canada, and expanding in Latin America.
Who can participate in the Christmas Bird Count, and what do people do, I guess, besides the obvious of count birds?
Right. Well, it's open to everybody to participate. Each Christmas bird count is organized by a local compiler, a local coordinator, and each circle is a 15-diameter mile circle, and people divide up that circle into different sectors. And so each sector gets assigned a party, usually one, two, three, four people, something like that, who go out and spend the day looking for birds and trying to count all the birds they can within that area. So a person who wants to volunteer needs to find out when the circle is going to be counted in their area, and it's a single day between the 14th of December and the 5th of January. Then they need to contact the local compiler in order to find out what party they can go on and where they can volunteer and help out on it. The other way people can help is they can count at their bird feeder. If they have a bird feeder in the backyard, they can count birds at their feeder during the day and then call that information in when it's compiled and put together as a full count.
Tell us about a little bit about this data from the Christmas bird count that gets used by scientists. How is that used? And tell us a little bit also about one of the ways that it was used recently in a report called State of the Birds.
Sure. A number of people will go out and count during the day, and then they usually come together at the end of the day and tally up everything that they've seen. The compiler then enters the data through an electronic online system into a national database that National Audubon maintains. And so we store the data now for this year will be the 110th year of this count. And so we have all the data information stored up there, and it's number of individuals of each species seen on each count, and then we have a measure of effort at each count. So how many hours did people spend out in the field? What scientists can then do is they can go get access to these data. We make them readily available to any scientist, and we get people just wanting information on a single species or a single area, or in the case of the State of the Birds report, is all of southern Canada and the United States. We've done a series of analyses and released a series of publications. One we did two summers ago in 2007 was on common birds in decline, and so it simply asked the question, common birds that people tend to see out there, have some of them declined a lot in numbers, and we were kind of shocked to find out that 20 of them had decreased by more than 50% in the last 40 years. It was things like bobwhite quail and evening grosbeaks and northern pintail ducks and greater scaup. So there are a lot of things that had gone down. That got a lot of press information around that, a lot of interest about, oh man, what's happening with birds? A lot of interest from Congress, a lot of interest from the White House. And in the fall of 2007, President Bush asked the Department of Interior to develop the State of the Birds report and to have the Fish and Wildlife Service take the lead Fish and Wildlife Service brought together all the federal agencies. They brought together a lot of state people into it and a lot of nonprofit groups like National Audubon. And one of the things we could bring to the table was this 100-year database from the Christmas Bird Count. And what they did, which I think was really innovative and very exciting, was they developed a series of habitat indicators. So they tried to say, what's the status of the birds that are dependent upon forests, ones that are dependent upon prairie, ones that are dependent upon grasslands and shrubland areas in the west and wetlands, and which ones are doing better and which ones are doing worse. And what they found that forest birds are kind of going along pretty good. Prairie birds and arid land birds, desert land birds, have gone way down in numbers. Seabirds are going down in numbers. But wetland birds have really increased in numbers in the last 40 years. So it was both some good stories about successes and some concerns around there. They also showed a couple of major successes, things like wild turkeys have just increased tremendously in the last 40 years because of conservation efforts to restore them in many states. And the release of this report really got a lot of interest from Congress, a lot of interest from state agencies and state government, and it's really helping in moving a conservation agenda forward that not only is going to help birds, but will help a lot of other wildlife.
And this was all, supported with the efforts of just like ordinary people who might be listening right now, just going outside and making some counts and working with coordinators with the National Audubon Society.
Right, exactly. People should really feel good about this because the only reason why this was able to be done is because of all of that volunteer effort that was put in.
Yeah, the citizen scientists.
Right, the citizen scientists, yep.
And you've said that the Christmas Bird Count has collected evidence that birds are now being affected by climate change. What's happening there and what's the evidence?
Sure. Well, one of the neat things about this count that's done all over the United States and southern Canada is it gives you a snapshot every year of where are birds in the early part of winter. And so what we did was we looked at that for 305 species that have good coverage across the United States. We looked at what was their center of abundance in each of the last 40 years back to 1966. And what we were able to show was for a little over half of them, I think 100 or a little bit below 200 in species, we saw a shift in their distribution north over that 40 years. Now, it wasn't an incremental shift a little bit every year. It was some years they went a little farther south when it was more cold. Some years they stayed a little farther north. But over that 40-year time span, there was a shift north in the distribution of birds. And so there's a clear indication that with the gradual warming temperatures of the last 40 years, birds have been able to stay farther north than they had been in the past and kind of occupy different habitats because of that.
You've been listening to Thomas Bancroft, Chief Scientist with the National Audubon Society. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Lindsay Patterson. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.